You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on!
Here's Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach.
Welcome to Nightlight, everybody. Good evening. Happy Thursday. Great to have you. The week is almost over. I personally love Thursday nights, and I love them separate of this show on their own, but it's even more fun because tonight we have so much fun stuff planned. We got a great guest, and we've got Nightlight Movie Club, and Greg Bach, my partner in crime here, who is coming to you live from Racine. I, of course, am in Marinette, Wisconsin, Christmas City, USA. Greg, we've got a movie club tonight, buddy.
Oh, have we got a movie club,
sure,
buddy. And it's a great one. It's a classic.
Maybe it's one of the fun.
Best comedies of the past, well, now like 40, 50 years.
I know. It's so crazy. I admit that I think of Bill Murray's career, and I'm like, yeah, Ghostbusters was good. I haven't watched it in so long. It's a damn good comedy. Like, it's really great. I kind of had downplayed it the last few years. It was awesome to rewatch that.
It's one of those things you know is great, and you kind of like walk away going, yeah, it's fine. And then you come back and you rewatch and you say, oh no, this is a really, really good movie. And what's funny is that like you almost have to take two full DOMs to get to the amount of time it's been since Ghostbusters came out.
I didn't know where you were
going. It came out in 1984, and Dom is 22, but it's almost two full DOMs old.
I thought you were making a joke about Dom's height because he was talking about the other day, meant age. So there's a lot of different. Look, you can make fun of all three of us for a lot of things, but Dom, those are your two things.
Yeah,
the age.
And you know, I'll take it.
And you kind of invited it. I did.
I enjoyed it. I welcomed it.
Well, first of all, your age, I mean, your parents welcomed it by having you when they had you, but that's not your problem. But you're the one who lied about your age on the air last night. I'm just saying, you know, I didn't realize I'm working with a full-blown liar. But
These are lies.
Wait a minute. He lied about his age last night?
No, I'm sorry. His height. I'm sorry.
Oh, his height. Oh,
I'm so
frazzled. I'm usually here every night. Okay.
He's actually 38 years old. He just looks really good. Jimmy Caesar has an amazing skincare routine.
Oh, lovely. That is Greg Bach, and we are talking to our outstanding producer coming to you live from Madison, who is producing the show tonight, Dom Lee. Did you guys have a good day?
Go ahead, Dom.
I did.
You're ready to talk. I think you did the thing of like, I'll let the other host talk, which I'm not giving myself the title, whatever. I don't care about that stuff. But you were like,
I was ready to say.
He's being courteous.
Go ahead, buddy.
I had chips today and I had Doritos, and this time, no breakage in the Doritos, so everything worked out well.
Oh.
I'm having a great day.
Did you put them on a sandwich?
I did not. No, I did not. I should. I need to.
I have some follow-up questions on the whole chip excursion here because if you weren't listening yesterday, we spent a fair amount of the first segment of the show talking not just about chips, but durability of chips, their deliciousness on sandwiches, and Dom's total lack of, courage in trying new things because he's never had chips on a sandwich before.
So here's
the question. You had Doritos. What flavor? Original? Cool Ranch?
Cool Ranch.
Okay. Small snack bag or big bag?
Snack bag.
Okay. What was the percentage of Dorito to bag? Like, was there, how much air was in there? Was it like a 30%?
It was like halfway filled, pretty much.
Halfway filled. Okay.
Yes,
all right, cool.
Not fully, but yeah.
And science here on Nightlight.
And just to be clear, not a single one of them placed upon a sandwich or something that would resemble a sandwich.
None placed upon a sandwich or anything that resembles a sandwich, unfortunately.
Final question. Do you believe a hot dog is a sandwich?
I do, yes.
Okay, thanks. That's all I need to know. Got it. Okay. We can move on now.
I didn't know that was a thing.
You've never heard that question?
I didn't know that either.
Maybe now that you mention it, maybe I have, but I've never pondered it. I'll say that I don't really care. Also, but you know, that's is it a sandwich to you, Greg?
I really just say it's a sandwich just to be like obstinate about it. Like I don't really care either. But like when people ask the question, I know what they expect the answer to be. So I just say, yes, I think it's a sandwich, because I use the basic idea of it's between bread. And some will say, well, it's not two pieces of bread. It's one. I'm like, well, yeah, but one side. It's like I argue the point for no reason other than just to be that guy. I also will say out loud, I think Grease 2 is far better than the first Grease, just to be that guy.
Boy, that was a jump.
Although I really love the movie Grease 2 a lot. But yeah,
a Reuben is a sandwich. It's only got one piece of bread.
What?
Reuben is a Reuben sandwich. Didn't you ever had a Reuben with?
No, a Reuben's two pieces of bread. It's a sandwich. It's usually rye.
Let's
get into this. I want to know where you've had this, because I love Reuben. So if there's a Reuben that I haven't had that's delicious, tell me about it.
Somewhere in Chicago, just when I was in college or growing up a little bit, or lived there as an adult. Yeah. I'm not going to say that's the only way, because you're right. Now that I think about it, I've probably had it both ways, but I like the open faced.
Oh, yeah. I hate that terminology, though. Sounds gross. Open face. Open face. Just sounds really gross.
Arby's got the best Reubens. Oh, man. So
good. No, they don't, Dom. No, they don't. I'm sorry.
Okay. First of all, let me just say this. Two things. One, Pete, I'm sorry. Not the best. You're right, Pete. Absolutely. Not the best. But an Arby's Reuben plays. Like, don't sleep on an Arby's Reuben. Okay. When you want a Reuben. But here's the thing. I'm starting to think, Pete, and correct me if I'm wrong, is Dom like a sleeper agent for the fast food industry? Because I feel like, we talk about Jimmy John's and McDonald's and Burger King and not just fast food, but like the whole junk food empire. Like, yeah. I'm really kind of worried about Dom.
It's
really
getting bad.
I mean,
it's getting bad.
He's pretty out there. This is pretty overt on Dom's part. He's making no bones. If he's undercover, it ain't working.
He should, like a NASCAR driver, just have all the restaurants who sponsor him on his shirt.
I like that idea, actually. Yeah. You can sell it as swag, too.
There you go.
Compliments of Dom. I had a weird day because I made a phone call to customer service, and do you guys get this? Okay. Your call is very important to us.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. Every time I call, I wait forever, and they always say, we are experiencing higher than usual call times or volumes. No, you're not, because every time, this is usual. Mm-hmm. You don't care. And it drives me bananas. Just put me on hold. Don't try to lie to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't disagree with that either. Yeah. Just don't say anything. Just say, hey, please hold. Thank you. I'll say this. Thank you for holding. We appreciate your time and patience.
Exactly. That's all you need.
And then play some decent hold music. Like, seriously.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to give me a hit. Just give me something that's good. But who were you calling, Pete?
I was calling my phone company, which will remain nameless for tonight.
Does it rhyme with Mectrum?
It rhymes with Micket.
Oh.
Listen, dude, I've been with them for the phone company I won't name.
For this many?
For nine. I'm trying to think. No, this is not a number. I'm being demonstrative. I think about 9 years now.
Yeah, yeah.
We've had four lines, $100 a month.
Yeah.
Flat. No fees, no contracts, no nothing, unlimited everything.
Yeah.
When I was just, I've been with them all, Sprint, Verizon, whatever. I bet I've saved thousands of dollars.
I feel the same way. I'm with Google Fi, and I've Ooh. Same thing. Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. What are you paying over there at Google, buddy?
I've never paid more than $28.
For one line?
For one line.
Okay. Very manageable. I like it. Dom, who are you with?
Spectrum. I'm with Spectrum.
For phone?
AT&T for phone. I use Spectrum.
I thought he was going to say Dairy Queen just to keep the...
Should have.
He's got a peanut butter parfait under the the board.
It gets great signal too. He's like, hello.
This is what I'm known
for.
This
phone is delicious.
Yeah, you're right. You're great. You're right. This is getting sad. This is what I'm known for. This might be a bad bit.
Dom, here's what you got to do though. I'm just going to go to Cricket. They're on the AT&T network. You will spend half the cost.
Really?
Now we all know who kidding. Pete has for his phone.
Micket. I mean, sorry.
I'm with Tugel Mai. I don't know.
Hey, we have a great show tonight, folks. Yeah. We've got Michael Nguyen will be here. He is the executive director of Teach for America Milwaukee. Nice. I assume that's a chapter, Greg. We're going to discuss Teacher Appreciation Week. So that'll be a fun talk with Michael. We'll celebrate teachers here tonight. And then in hour number two, as we mentioned, it is Nightlight Movie Club. So if you've seen the film Ghostbusters, or if you want to watch as much of it as you can during the first hour, no, don't do that because then you're not listening, but join the fun. I know you've seen Ghostbusters. We'll talk about our favorite lines, scenes, characters, and just the overall have an overall discussion about this really great movie that it was so fun to rewatch. That's in hour number two starting at 6:20. It's going to be an actual gas.
An actual gas.
But I think without further ado, we should get to our question of the night.
No more.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
This directly pertains to our Nightlight Movie Club night choice tonight, Ghostbusters. What is your favorite Bill Murray role or character? That is tonight's question. And there are so few actors you can really do this with who have a body of work where even the casual people know multiple movies or characters from Saturday Night Live or whatever. But let us know your favorite Bill Murray role or character, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Phone lines are always open here, folks. You can comment on anything we're talking about, as you know. You can also text us on the app, or if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or the app Greg still calls Twitter, as we all do. Drop us a stream comment and be part of the show.
Yeah. And while they're doing that, Pete, I just want to talk about something really quick I saw in the news today that kind of blew my mind. Okay. So you know how like vaccines are very...
Reliable,
researched, great, wonderful, life-saving, helpful, all those things. But there's a certain group of people who think they're terrible, life-threatening, will cause you to become an alien, magnetic, or I don't know, whatever. And some of those people work in the White House. Well, our HHS secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and his group basically blocked a study from the Food and Drug Administration, the publication of a study that tracked the safety of the COVID-19 and shingles vaccination. They blocked this study from being published. Ask me why.
And I was just going to do that anyway. And why?
Because the results of the study are in line with what everyone already knew. It's well-researched. It's safe. The side effects are few and far between, and same with the shingles shot as well. But because they don't align with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and his ilk, they stopped it from being published.
It's so crazy. And they're stopping, when the good information is out there, reliable scientific information, people like influencers can't make money off that. They can't get people outraged and upset. So they have to attack the vaccines. Robert Kennedy has already been very publicly disgraced with his Tylenol nonsense and causing autism. Those were BS. That's been debunked. Mm-hmm. But the nerve to come back out and do this again. And it's like, I just don't get it, Greg. Look, I don't want to put anything in my body. A Tylenol even. But I'm going to take it. I know it's safe. I just don't want added stuff. And same thing with vaccines. I've had a shingles vaccine, COVID, flu. It's all effective.
Yeah.
So... according to our Robert Kennedy.
They can have all the opinions they want, but they're not based in science. They're not true. But unfortunately, these people are in charge of these agencies, these departments, and this wing of the cabinet. And now, I mean, it's like when we try to talk about guns, and it's just absolutely unacceptable. I don't like it.
They're the kind of people that say, "Trust me." Okay.
Yeah.
That's research. Hey, we are coming back very quickly to talk about looks maxing, folks. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. I am Pete Schwabe coming to you live from Northeast Wisconsin, Christmas City, USA. Greg is coming to you live from Racine in Radio Park, Historic Radio Park, and Dom Lee, the kid Dom Lee, that's left over from last week's movie, like Goodfellas. It's the kid Henry Hill.
Hey, Jimmy Caesar there.
Yeah, Jimmy Caesar is in lover of all things fast food, is working the board and producing the show from Madison. It is great to have you with us tonight, folks. It is a Nightlight Movie Club night, so we would love it if you all participated like you did last week. Talk to us about Ghostbusters. That's this week's movie. It was such a fun rewatch, and tonight's question goes hand in hand with it. One of the stars of Ghostbusters is Bill Murray. So tonight's question is, what is your favorite Bill Murray role or character? You can go back to Saturday Night Live or any one of Bill's roles. He's an absolute legend. So have fun with that. Or get in touch with us. Phone lines are always open. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. I just realized I said that phone number the way I said that phone number like I'm hoping people don't remember it. And that's not good.
Okay. I think you're doing great.
Listen, I'm an honest guy. I like to take stock in my performance as I go and report.
Oh, trust me. We're taking notes.
I'm writing stuff. Yeah, I'm writing everything down.
Here's what I'm not doing. I'm not buying Kevin O'Leary's nonsense. This is from The Hill.
What's he talking about now?
I mean, this guy is so annoying. Like, my wife was really into Shark Tank. I didn't hate the show. Fine. And people would go and, but I can't watch it every week. I could sit for 10 minutes and go, oh, that's kind of a cool invention. And sometimes these people have all excelled in business. Kevin O'Leary is one of them. But he pitched a data center in Utah. Yeah. People showed up, constituents, it was proven, of the people that were there. And they were against it, and the city or county or whoever people, the local municipalities, approved it anyway. Something stinks here. They're greasing palms, whatever. But Kevin O'Leary is the brains behind the data center. It's his baby. He's going to build it. He's going to make a ton of money, and people's electric bills are going to go up, and it's going to deplete, supposedly further, the Great Salt Lake because these things take a ton of water. Yes. And he pushed back. He said the Shark Tank star, according to The Hill, took to social media to comment about the situation, claiming most of the protesters were from out of state. How does he know that? We heard this about the King's Marches, too, or the No King's Marches. Oh, they're all George Soros. All 8 million people, really? They all were sent a check by George Soros? It makes no sense whatsoever. Yeah. It's a tired narrative that you can fly in protesters. And maybe some of them did fly in because they feel strongly in general. I don't know, but it's nonsense. Address the problem, and that's the data center.
Well, and that's like, I just want to know, when did we start relying upon the Shark Tank guy for political, social advice or any sort of opinion? I know this is nothing new. We ask all sorts of weird people about these things, but he is so aggressive and he just sounds so dumb. I'm like, go in your little studio, sit in your chair and pass up a deal like you did the Scrub Daddy and just like live your life. Like, I don't need you telling me how to vote, what to think. I just do not like this guy at all. Every time I hear his name mentioned, when he's on CNN on a panel, I'm like, you couldn't find anyone better? Was Scott Jennings off that night? You had to find someone worse? I can't listen to this, man. And he said something in an article. He said, like, I'm the only one who graduated with a degree in environmental studies. Yeah, your bachelor's degree in 1977. No offense to those who have that, too. But things change over the course of nearly 50 years. Technology's changed. Research changes. I'm sorry, your 4-year bachelor degree is not anything that makes you go, well, Kevin O'Leary has a bachelor's degree, everybody. I mean, it's basically a doctor. It's basically a doctor, right?
Right.
I mean, I have a political science degree. That makes me a scientist, right?
Sure. Political.
Okay. Thank you.
Science.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
and
you.
These data centers, I don't know if they're all this size. This one is 40,000 acres. And someone, a social media influencer who was commenting on this, I saw this. That's 3 times the size of Manhattan in Utah. 40,000.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep. I just want to know. Maybe they're necessary, Greg. I don't know enough about them, but I would like them researched more, and I would like to know that the costs aren't going to go on to the taxpayer.
I will say I don't think they're necessary because we lived a long time without them.
Well, that's what my instincts tell me, too.
Yeah, so.
Anyway. Yeah. Here's another weird one. You'll love this, Greg.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of clavicular?
Is that a disease? Like, I have a bad case of clavicular. I broke my clavicular. Ouch. I was playing some flag football and my clavicular just snapped.
This is an influencer. He's a model who's a looks maxer.
Is that his Christian name? Clavicular?
No, it's actually something like Braden Eric Jones. That wasn't pretentious enough. He had to go with clavicular and name himself after a collarbone.
Oh.
But he shot an alligator in Florida, and he got arrested for it. Yeah. The alligator was already dead, but you still can't shoot dead animals, I guess, in the Everglades or wherever it was. And he and his buddies shot this up. But it's the bone smashing to change your face and the look of your face to give yourself more of a pouty or sexy look. Dom, looks maxing. You've educated us about this word.
Yes, he gives people percentages too. He lines people up and says, all right, you're this percentage. You have this percentage of bone mashing in your cheeks. I don't even know how it works. But.
Is he a doctor? Speaking like, is he Dr. Clavicular?
Nope.
Is he a graduate of clavicular science?
Dr. Clav.
No.
Paging Dr. Clavicular, we need a bone smashed in you. These people that do this don't even go to the doctor. They do it on their own.
I don't know what's crazier, the fact that he exists or the fact that he shot a dead alligator in Florida. That actually seems like a very Florida story, actually. So.
Yeah, right. This is rational. But it's strange. And he coaches and he convinces other people to do this. And my thing is, you know what? You can change your face all you want. You can do this stuff. So you talk to girls or guys, whatever the case may be. You still have to learn how to communicate with people. This is not going to make you hot. This is not going to make you desirable after the first look to other people. You have to be a human being and talk.
I guess not. All I have to be is clavicular and be like, I just want to smash my face.
From now on, I want to go as the Uvulatar. This is Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. We are coming to you live, and we're coming right back with Michael Nguyen. It's going to be great teacher appreciation talk. This is Nightlight. That's another one of my favorite Jim Croce songs right there. Come on, Eileen. Hey, welcome back to Nightlight, folks. I'm Pete Schwabba, joined as always by Greg Bach, and Dom Lee is in Madison spinning the tunes and producing the show. It's great to have you with us. This is Thursday, folks. We are almost there. The weather's getting better. It's going to be a great weekend, but let's kick it off tonight. It's Nightlight Movie Club in the second hour. The film is Ghostbusters. We're going to have a great chat. We hope you join us. And our question of the night is, in honor of Ghostbusters and one of its biggest stars, Bill Murray, what is your favorite Bill Murray role or character? So answer the question. Join us for movie night. It's going to be a lot of fun. But right now, it is my pleasure to welcome Michael Nguyen. He is the executive director at Teach for America Milwaukee. He joins us now over the stream to talk about Teacher Appreciation Week here in Wisconsin, as well as a few other things. Michael, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And happy Teacher Appreciation Week.
It's a really nice week to acknowledge what our folks are doing. People are getting their lunches, their breakfasts, their gifts from families. It's been an outstanding week for our folks.
That's excellent. I will say right up front, my wife is a teacher. She's taught in Chicago parochial schools, Los Angeles Unified, and now up here in Marinette, Wisconsin, a smaller town. She's kind of run the gamut on all the places you could teach. She always laughs that during Teacher Appreciation Week, somehow there are donuts and junk food in the teacher's lounge. And she's like, are they appreciating us or trying to kill us? What do you think it is, Michael?
So my wife is an educator where my kids go to school. And she hasn't had to make breakfast or lunch this week. The families have been very gracious. The school leadership That's has been nice. Very generous. But it's helping our grocery bills this week.
That's always Which Always helps. Helpful, Michael. We got you here. It's Teacher Appreciation Week, and you are the executive director of Teach for America Milwaukee. Let's start right there. Tell the audience, Teach for America and what it does and what specifically you do in Milwaukee with the program.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. So our vision and our belief is that every kid deserves an excellent education. And the way that we pursue that mission is we recruit and train and develop high-quality folks because kids in Milwaukee deserve great adults in front of them. So when we recruit, we are looking for folks who have led during college or in their careers, had outcomes, worked with folks in communities across lines of difference. Because when you get into a Milwaukee classroom, those students are coming with a lot of different needs, a lot of different relationships that you need to build so that you are the trusted adult in their life. And Teach for America, what we do is we provide a lot of coaching, training, a community, so that our teachers see a group of folks that coach and support them so that they can be great for kids every day. And our teachers become career teachers. Some of them become school leaders. Some of them pursue law or medicine or become civic leaders. But because we all worked with children in communities, we have a shared belief of what could be true for them if we center children.
Boy, that's a great, that was great. I'll say I worked in a school when my daughter went to middle school. I guess I missed her a lot. I started volunteering, and that turned into a part-time position where I got to work with kids in an intervention room. And a lot of them came in hot. You know, they had just been in a fight or got in trouble. And I really got to know a lot of the kids and about their home life. That gave me even more insight into what teachers are dealing with. Teachers have to manage these kids and also make the learning environment good for kids who aren't behavioral don't have behavioral issues. It is a juggling act. Yet they take a lot of the blame for the kids that have no guidance, no real guidance at home. Can you talk, and maybe your wife has talked about this a little bit, what is the challenge for those kind of teachers, and how can your outfit help that?
Yeah, so first of all, I'll say I was a teacher too. So I started my career as a teacher in 2009 through Teach for America. I was a core member. I taught in Milwaukee Public Schools. I taught at St. Anthony. I was a principal at St. Anthony. So I like your wife, Pete, I've seen, you know, my fair share of what goes on in the classroom. And the biggest thing I've learned, and still today, is we don't always know what our families are going through. We don't always know the responsibilities that the families have at home to put food on the table, the long hours at work. You know, I'm fortunate in my household where my three kids, we're checking their homework, we're reading with them every night. And sometimes the hours get long, and for some families, the hours are very thin. So as teachers and educators, we gotta be aware of the different supports that our kids need. And to be quite frank, Pete, what that also means is teachers wear a lot of different hats. You know, some of our core members aren't just the teachers in front of the classroom, they're the counselor. They're checking in on the kid each morning. How are you entering the classroom today? They're distributing breakfast. The kids have to eat. They have to be nourished and supported. And so a lot of our teachers, and this is why Teacher Appreciation Week is so important, is not only are they the educator, they're the main adult in many of these kids' lives throughout the year. And what we have to do as educators is recognize our locus of control. And for folks that aren't in the classroom, understanding that teachers wear so many hats and figure out how do we lean in to help the school systems so that teachers aren't wearing all those hats for kids every single day.
Great point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with all those challenges, and, you know, we talked about this last night because we were discussing Pete's wife's work, and we really looked at it the point of view of as a calling. People who become teachers, who stay in teaching, do it for decades, go up against so many odds, it's really a calling for what they feel like, how they contribute to society. When you are talking to young folks who are thinking about joining Teach for America, what do those conversations sound like? Do you have, like, you know, is it folks who just come in and say, I want to do this? Or is it like them, you know, like a guidance counselor, if you will, where you just talk it out and give them the idea of what would be happening? But what do those conversations, especially in 2026, look like for young people who want to go into teaching?
Well, Greg, what's interesting for Teach for America is we often recruit folks who aren't traditionally trained in schools of education. So, for instance, I'm a psych and social major. Back in 2009, right? I graduated from Illinois with a psych and social background, and I joined Teach for America, and I earned my certification. I earned my master's degree. TFA provided the coaching and support for me to be as successful as one can be in their first and second year of teaching. As we talk about current recruits, you know, they're from similar backgrounds as me. I looked at the degrees that our people are coming in with. Some of them are education, some of them are ed policy, but a lot of them are physics, math, econ, business, anthro, English. These are folks that are joining because they want to make a mark in the system, in education, working with communities. So I'll give you an example. I got one guy coming in. He's graduating from Madison with poli-sci background. He knows he wants to be a part of ed policy one day, but mm-hmm. he also understands that if he is going to have a accurate and valid understanding of how to support communities in the forms of education, he benefits from being in the classroom with children, making impact on their lives, understanding how schools work, understanding how school structures and systems work. Because if you know, the folks that are going to best impact ed policy are going to be the folks who understand what's going on the ground. Mm-hmm. And to be more particular about your question, Greg, I am, you know, every generation, I'm a millennial. Millennials got our fair share of grief as we were younger, and Gen Z is facing similar stuff, right? Like, what do they care about? What we've learned in recruiting these folks is there's a lot of altruism about them. They want to mm-hmm. do the right thing. They lived through COVID. They lived through the most formative years of COVID. Some of them didn't get to walk the stage as high school kids. And then some of them didn't get to walk the stage in college, right? Because of a variety of things that happened at that time too. So they are deeply invested in being a part of a society and system that serves others well. And that's who is joining teaching, and that's who's joining TFA.
It's amazing. That's awesome. I love that.
Our guest is Michael Nguyen. He is he is joining us to talk Teacher Appreciation Week here in Wisconsin. He's the executive director at Teach for America Milwaukee, and we're talking teachers. Part of my frustration, Michael, and I don't know if you've experienced this as a teacher or being married to a teacher, but I feel like Greg, to Greg's point, you know, teachers are caring people. They just want to teach. You know, and I feel like it's the same way. I used to be a stand-up comic. It's the same way with comedians. I remember leading a boycott in the mid-90s because clubs had lowered their prices. And most of the people we met with were like, they don't even have to pay us. I'm like, well, there's the problem. And teachers, I feel like I get outraged when I would go to these meetings and they'd say, hey, this coming school year, we're giving you an extra gene day a month. And they'd clap. And I'm like, that doesn't beat a lower deductible. Like, let's be sensible here. How do you rally teachers if this is something that concerns you to get what they deserve? Because as much as people who are in physics or other things, eventually they're going to want to make more money.
Well, I think the rallying teachers part is, I'm not avoiding your question, Pete. I think it's a right question. Of like, how do you keep people excited about the profession? Because, you know, we're seeing... We have to invest folks to be teachers, and that's not true of every industry. What I would actually say is, how do you rally non-teachers? How do you rally parents? Mm-hmm. How do you rally civic leaders? How do you rally business leaders? Right. So let's just take a look at Milwaukee. Right. Milwaukee's aspirations is to grow to 1 million people in our population. That's what Mayor Johnson has said, and I'm for it. Right. A thriving economy requires more people, but a thriving economy, a growing population requires a strong school system. And one way, yes, is to absolutely pay teachers more, provide better insurance and benefits. But we just got done with a conversation about the multiple hats that people wear. Listen, if schools were fully stocked with nurses, if schools were fully stocked with mental health professionals, if we had the city and state systems where children are fed well, if we had daycare, there are many conditions that happen outside of the school that impact the ability for a teacher to, I think, Pete, you might have said it a minute ago, focus on teaching, right? That's what a lot of our people love. It's like, they love two things. One, they love teaching, the act, and two, they love their children, right? So if they're wearing multiple hats, if we can take things off as non-educators that impact the system, then teachers can focus on what they love the most.
Well said.
Yeah, absolutely. And we only have about a minute or so before we have to go to our first break real quick. What is Teach for America Milwaukee doing for Teacher Appreciation Week? And if it's something you can start now, we can come back to it after the commercial, but like, for Teach for America Milwaukee, what is happening this week with your organization?
Yeah, so after we get done chatting, I'm going to head to a dinner with all of our core members mm-hmm. at Zocalo, a food truck.
Oh, stop. I love that place. Yeah, it's a great place.
So I'm excited about that. We've Dropped off some gifts to our core members this week. We actually have a celebration for our core members for finishing their two-year commitment in a couple of weeks, and I can't say too much now, but we have a few surprises for them and their families. So really eager for this month in general, and not just this week for our teachers.
Excellent, excellent.
That's great. We will have a few more minutes with our new pal, Michael Nguyen. He is here joining us. He works for, he's the executive director. Am I getting that right, Michael? I lost my notes here. The executive director at Teach for America Milwaukee. We're talking Teacher Appreciation Week. We'll have more on the other side of this very short break. What is your favorite Bill Murray role, folks, or character? Be part of the fun. Be part of the show. Text us. Call us. Just get a hold of us one way or the other, because this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach, and we are coming right back on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. We are having a great conversation with Michael Nguyen. He is the executive director at Teach for America Milwaukee. He's joining us tonight over the stream from the great city of Milwaukee. Michael, so I read this great article by one of our colleagues here at Civic Media, John Scott. And he kind of pointed out in the article that so many teachers leave the industry because of low pay. At what point, and I keep hearing that this is going to be an issue, but it seems like we are filling positions. So at what point does it get dangerous, or do you see that trend changing anytime soon based on your knowledge?
Here's what the research shows us, right? Research shows us that when teachers leave their schools, that there's a reset, right? So there's a reset for that classroom. Sometimes there's a reset for that grade level. And then when you bring a new person in, you have to retrain them on the school culture, the school's expectations, building those relationships with students, that institutional knowledge. And so what actually happens is you're losing consistency, right? And so there's actually a danger of that every year, that every time a teacher leaves a building, that cycle has to begin again. And so I think, you know, just like any profession, that's true. I think if we think about reasons why people leave, is oftentimes they start thinking of building a family, thinking about other opportunities that might pay more. A lot of the things that I see mitigating that is when people are in schools where they feel supported. There are school leaders, there are principals that are building adult cultures, that people are feeling successful, feeling connected, and feeling in community with each other as adults. So I think the obvious answer that I agree with is, like, how do we compensate teachers better? What I also see as important to people that I've talked to my core members about is being in an environment where they can see themselves long term in that community.
We are coming to, you know, you said you were at a dinner with folks who are fulfilling their commitment. We're coming to the end of the school year for some kids, where some kids are graduating. For Teach for America Milwaukee specifically, what does this summer mean for you all, as far as, is it training, recruitment, things of that nature? Or is it like, we're going to take a couple weeks off? Or what do you do during the summertime for Teach for America Milwaukee?
You know what's funny, Greg, is like, my staff wish we could take a few weeks off. So yesterday when I say my staff, I mean the people on my team, the coaches, the folks who work with the teachers in our community. Yesterday we had a meeting preparing for the summer training that we're doing. So we are expecting nearly 30 new teachers with Teach for America Milwaukee next year. They start online training with us on June 10th.
Wow.
And then, some of these folks are just graduating college. They have a few weeks themselves. Our teachers right now, their school years won't end yet. And we're going to start training the new group. And then they're going to join us in Milwaukee for summer school, where they're going to teach students over the summer, get coaching, get mentorship, build some of those relationships early on, so that when they get to the fall, they have skills and mindsets they can immediately implement for their new school and new classroom.
That's great. Love it.
We were talking earlier in the show about data centers and AI. Michael. How do you see, will AI affect teaching in your opinion? I'm sure it will affect it one way or the other, but how do you think it will affect it?
So I'll start with how it will not.
Okay.
How it will not, like Pete, your wife, my wife, they're irreplaceable in the sense that like kids will always want to build relationships with them. Kids will always trust them. Their family members at home will always want to connect with them because that's the human element, the human relationship is what will never leave teaching, no matter how strong AI gets. Now, that does not mean AI is a bad thing. I had a conversation with someone yesterday. We have a teacher who teaches at Ronald Reagan High School in Milwaukee, the top performing high school in the city. His name is Brant Champion. And what Mr. Champion does is he uses something called Google Notebook LM. And he puts all of his classroom notes on there. The kids have access to his notes. The kids can rearrange the notes. The kids can create study guides from them. The kids can create test questions that they can practice with it. Mr. Champion doesn't have to do any of that. AI is doing that for him, and AI is essentially functioning as like an additional tutor and resource for the kids. And that's good for the kids too, right? Because, you know, why redo something? Why have to create something? There's no character building there. The point is for kids to be educated.
Do you think AI will affect our marriages, Michael, in any way?
I hope not, man. I hope not mine, right?
I gotta go. Wow. He took it in a direction, Michael, that surprised both you and me, I'll tell you that.
Hey, he went with it though. He was right there.
Yeah,
listen,
totally.
I'm sure we've all read the same articles about how folks are getting connected to AI, and I can assure you that will not happen in my household.
There you go.
Oh, my wife's husband might as well be named Claude because she calls it her best friend, and she hasn't called me that in a while. So, yeah, it's here to stay for sure.
I'm cheering for you. I'm cheering for you.
I appreciate that. Back at you, buddy. Michael Nguyen, it was nice getting to know you. Keep up the great work, and enjoy your dinner tonight.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's really nice meeting you, too.
Thank you.
All right, that's Michael Nguyen. Check out Teach for America. And whatever you do, folks, this week, be good to your teachers. Appreciate them. Show them appreciation the best way you know how.
I do. It's a box of donuts.
maybe something that doesn't cause them harm long term.
There you go. There you go.
All right. So we've got a Nightlight Movie Club coming up next hour, folks, at 6:20. When we come back after the news, we're going to read some of your texts based on our question. What is your favorite Bill Murray character or role? So have fun with that. Let us know. We've got some great answers already. We'll be reading your texts after the news. Then it's the Movie Club and, of course, the Nightcap to close out the show. But don't go anywhere. Be part of the fun. It's coming up next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.